The following show is closed caption for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ News, Talk, Sports. I have a medley of stories I want to get to in this half hour. So I'm going to get to them, starting right now. There's at least one Republican uncomfortable with attacks on Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mary Burke for being a millionaire and for the way her family's bicycle firm pays taxes and uses outsourcing. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, that would be U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. He is the latest prominent conservative to politely say to Scott Walker, back off the outsourcing thing, would ya? I have said the same thing after supporting the strategy. I feel they have jumped the shark and they need to let it go. Ron Johnson not using any of my verbiage, but sharing the same sentiment. Johnson indicated that instead of hitting Burke on her wealth and the outsourcing by Trek bicycle, Governor Scott Walker, a fellow Republican, and his campaign should promote the successes of his first term before the November election. Ron is on to something there. Okay. I get why Mary Burke doesn't want to talk about Act 10. Because it has worked, and attacking it is problematic at best. Why doesn't Scott Walker want to talk about Act 10? That, you know, I think Ron is really on to something here. I'm going to say it again. I think Governor Walker is getting bad advice from his team. You've got shows like this one talking about the successes of Act 10, and I'm not saying he doesn't at all, but why isn't he wearing it on his sleeve? I really think this has become a mistake. Now, the initial intent of pointing out that, like most of its competitors in the bicycle industry, Trek produces its bikes overseas, most of its bikes. All right, point out she's a hypocrite in criticizing other corporations for outsourcing. Move on. Again, I cannot name names, but I can tell you that business leaders in the state are uncomfortable and unhappy with this strategy because ultimately it's going to bite them in the butt. They don't want to get crossways with the governor they support, but they don't know what the hell he's doing. And I have to agree with Ron on this. I think there are far better areas to address, Johnson said Tuesday during an interview with editors and reporters of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. From my standpoint, we ought to be talking about how do you make Wisconsin a more attractive place for risk-taking, business investment, business expansion. He lauded Walker for declaring early and often that Wisconsin was open for business. But when asked specifically what he thought of Republicans taking Burke as millionaire Mary, Johnson, who, by the way, is a millionaire, that's me talking, said, I would prefer they not do it. Far too often in the political realm, we demonize success, we demagogue against it, he added. What we should be doing is incentivizing success, and I would just take that one step further. Scott Walker and his team would do well to point out why it is good business sense for any number of businesses to outsource. What liberal policies have led to that? I was one of the few defenders of this, but now they just won't let it go. And I think they're taking their eye off the ball here and talk about what you have accomplished. Because here's the conclusion that the less informed voter will reach. If you're not talking about your accomplishments, maybe you don't have any accomplishments. Leave that to Mary Burke. Because understand something. This race is close. Because in the minds of many Wisconsin voters, Mary Burke is essentially a generic Democratic candidate. What the polls are showing is it's a close race between Scott Walker and anyone else. Because they don't really know Mary Burke. It is also why Democrats and Mary Burke don't really want voters to know a whole lot more about her. The more they know, the less they'll probably like. Whereas this way, where it's just she's basically an unknown entity, that's why the polls are close. So I'll vote for anyone other than Scott Walker, unless, of course, you get to know them a little bit. And that's why they're not all that interested in getting her more identified with voters. That's what's going on there. Scott Walker, on the other hand, this is weird. He has a record on which to run. She's running from MAC-10. Why is he? And I know that's a bit harsh, but not all that harsh. Not really. They need to recalibrate here. Because quite frankly, he's sounding anti-business. This is going to be positioned again as the end of the Tea Party. It's been a tough year for those who are trying to figure out how they want to demonize the Tea Party. When Eric Cantor lost, the Tea Party had taken over. When most Senate incumbents have staved off Tea Party challengers this year, Tea Party's dead. They're not sure what they want. Do they want to say that it's the monster that ate the Republican Party, or is it dead? They can't decide. Today is going to be dead. Senator Pat Roberts of Kansas defeated a Tea Party-backed challenger yesterday in what the Wall Street Journal describes as one of the last opportunities this year for conservative insurgents to unseat a Republican incumbent. With 88% of precincts reporting, Mr. Roberts received 48% of the vote, 41% for his main opponent, physician and political newcomer Milton Wolf. Two other candidates trailed with single-digit totals. Roberts is another guy who's been in Washington a long time between the House and the Senate. He's 78. And I don't think that this is not a surprise at all. I don't think this was considered all that competitive. What happened in the last opportunity to take the Senate is you had inferior Tea Party candidates. I'm not saying Tea Party candidates are by nature inferior. I'm saying the Tea Party wasn't selective enough. And again, you've got the two Tea Parties. You've got the big national groups who throw their weight around, and you've got the grassroots movement. Understand, the grassroots movement defeated Eric Cantor, who's now out. You know, he's decided not to hang around and take a smaller office. He's gone. I think if you're seeing any diminished power, it is from these big Tea Party organizations, not the grassroots movement. That's my belief. And as I said, there's a pragmatism among Republican voters right now where, look, we want the Senate. Yes, we would like a more conservative Senate candidate, but I respect and understand the fact where they just right now they just want to win. They want Harry Reid gone, and they know that the first step is getting the Senate and retaining the House. It's also why, for the most part, impeachment has become the I word that you don't mention, and as I said, and some people don't understand it. My position on that is it would be idiotic to move toward impeachment, but I think it's intellectually honest to say it's on the table, because it should be. But Republicans are tripping over themselves a bit on that, so they're because they do remember 1998. They are trying to avoid all of the things that kept them from taking the Senate in past opportunities. So they just feel there's nothing that's going to screw that up this time. That's why you are, I think, seeing the establishment candidates in the Senate primaries, for the most part, prevail. Related to that, there's a new Wall Street Journal NBC News poll out. The way this is being spun by many in the media is it's bad news for everybody, which is not false. Not false. It's really bad news for President Obama, but congressional Republicans' popularity continues to be low as well. The Wall Street Journal says that frustration with a sluggish, still economy is a big part of it. The public seems to have moved beyond the plaintive cry of feel our pain to the more angry pronouncement of you are causing our pain. That frustration taking its toll on President Barack Obama and members of Congress, Mr. Obama registered his lowest ever approval rating for his overall job performance and handling of foreign policy. The president's approval rating dropped to 40%. It's down a point, which is statistically insignificant, from 41% in a June survey, and he notched a disapproval rating of 54%. So he's underwater 14 points. Approval 40%, disapproval 54%. This is the one that I keep talking about that it seems almost nobody else is. 36% approve of his handling of foreign policy. 60% disapprove. His worst ever marks. This is also a wake-up call, or should be, for those in the Republican Party and in the conservative movement with an isolationist bent. Yeah. Americans do notice foreign policy. They are worried about our lack of support for Israel. They are worried about Ukraine. They are worried about all of these things. They are worried that we are no longer the leader of the free world. Yes, Americans are most worried about an economy that just won't really get moving, but they are worried about those things. Foreign policy is important. There was an interesting announcement yesterday. I told you this was a medley. There was an interesting announcement yesterday from a major media company, Gannett. Gannett is best known, probably best known singularly for USA Today, but for its newspaper business in general. It owns most of the major dailies in Wisconsin, with, of course, the notable exception of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It has followed suit with a lot of media companies that have broadcast and the old print newspaper interest in splitting them into separate divisions. Yesterday, Gannett announced and became the most recent major media company to say it will divide its print and broadcast divisions into separate companies. Almost every major company that has print and broadcast interests has done this. News Corp, Tribune, of course, here in Wisconsin, Journal Communications and Scripps getting together to do this, to create broadcast companies and separate newspaper companies. Why? Because the newspapers are bleeding them to death. The newspapers, particularly in these publicly traded companies, killing them. They are just millstones around the neck. The transition to digital simply isn't working. So these for newspapers, so these major media companies are like, well, we have to stop bleeding the broadcast part of this to death. We just have to stop doing that. That's what you saw with Journal spinning off its TV stations and radio stations into a separate company from the newspaper. Now, the reality is the newspapers, though, do continue to provide a lot of content for the other things. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. All right, this has become a regular feature. We remind you each day that the Larson Green property north of Titletown sits empty, and it has since July 16th because Walmart's not going there and nothing is going there anytime soon. So it continues to be the Big Empty Day.
It's time for the Big Empty Update. Day 21. Mayor Schmidt idea number 5. What to do with the Larson Green property? Create Wisconsin's first Echo Park. Hello.
Hello.
Nice park. This can get old really fast. That was another edition of Why Is Nothing Better Than Walmart? Ask the mayor.
Day 21 of the Big Empty, and we will keep count right here so you don't have to. Coming up after 9, a blast from the pre-Act 10 past. You are going to love this public union story. It involves a plunger and poop. I'm not kidding. And we're finally going to talk a little bit about the Attorney General's race and a specific issue. It's 8:56.
For those of you that are in or near retirement, you cannot afford